Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 22nd of March. And do you know why that date is so important, Richard?
No.
He hasn't been paying attention. He hasn't been paying attention. You haven't not been listening all month. No. He comes on, he never listens. It's my birthday month. And on a Sunday is my birthday. Okay. So this is officially my birthday weekend.
Okay.
So, yes, it is the 22nd of March. I am super excited about the weekend. As you can hear, I am joined in the studio by my fabulous co-host, the security expert, our security expert, Richard Bell of Ten Intelligence.
Good morning. I'm still trying to get my... It's a month now we celebrate birthdays, is it? I got
women
a week.
Do, yeah. No,
I
month.
Got a week, but no. It's a month.
Month, yeah.
Good.
Only for women. Men get one day.
If that. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And our guest this morning is the lovely Patience Ogbunna. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to practice that all through the show to get that right for you. Who is a transformational coach, business trainer and inspirational speaker. Good morning and welcome to the studio.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me and happy birthday in advance.
Thank you. See, she gets it.
I think I said it last month.
I'm terrible, terrible. We have got a full packed show for you today, but we have got loads of interaction on the Twitter and we've got some events to talk about. And of course, we want to hear Patience's story of how she became a transformation coach. I love that, transformational coach. We're going to find out all about that in a little while. We do want to hear from you, the listeners. So if there is anybody out there today, I know there's a big event going on. The Grow Kent is in at the Brands Hatch. Should we start again? Stop!
Yeah. McCure.
Brands Hatch. Near Brands Hatch. It's going to be one of those shows. But there are quite a few people out there. So do give us a tweet if you're listening today at Bunker Extra with the hashtag BeExtraBeBunker. You can call us in the studio. I'm really dying for somebody to call us again one day. We've had to have about two calls in the last 2 years. So come on, people. Phone us. Don't be scared. Right. Call us on 01233 220035, 01233 220035. And you can, if you'd like to come on the show as a guest, if you have an event that you want us to shout about, let us know about your events, because we love talking about what events are coming up in Kent and the surrounding areas. So give us an email at bunkerextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by the very stylish Julie Daniels, the chic stylist, and our guest was Stacey Tillot, Mr. T of Tillot, who is a marketing expert, and we had a really great show. Trouble is patience when we have three women in the studio. We just don't stop talking.
I can imagine.
It's fine when Richard's here. You know, we let him have a say occasionally.
And that's about it.
But it was a really great show. So if you missed that or any previous show, please do go to bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tab, and all of our previous shows are there. So you can catch up and download us as a podcast and take us wherever you go. You've been to Dubai recently, haven't you? You've been all over the place. Dubai, yeah. to Kent, to Dubai.
To me, to you. Yes, 2 weeks ago, I went to see our team and office out in Dubai to enrich their souls with what we're trying to do over here from a group perspective and share some of the policies and stuff. Also check in with them because we sort of chat remotely, but it's never the same, is it, when you go and meet people and understand some of their sort of thoughts and considerations around how they apply work. So that was good fun. It was jam-packed with meeting potential clients and visiting and reviewing with existing clients out there, because we've got quite a large client base out there and a company that operates out there as part of our group. And it was my fourth visit within almost 12 months.
Oh, blimey.
And we were talking beforehand, patients, around, you know, you either get it or you don't, Dubai. It's one of those places. I don't know what, you know, our listeners or followers think. And for the first three times, I didn't really get it. I was a bit conflicted with the whole, you know, like, oh, I like Disneyland, so I'm going to create a Disneyland. Oh, I like shops, I'm going to create shops. Oh, I like Wall Street and a beach and it all just doesn't really make any sense. So up until my last visit, where I really got to a chance to meet more local people and speak and be in and amongst, within those shiny buildings, but in and amongst, you know, residents of that area, I started to understand it more. And for once, I started to smell differently. I don't know.
Smell weird. Differently? What, smell you washed this time? Or?
Well, no, I doesn't
it's
it was
probably
still quite,
the heat.
Yeah, it exactly.
It wasn't terrible. Nice one. No, I just smell all these different flavours and smells in Dubai. A lot of them are artificial, but it's and I like sort of incense smells and those type of aromatherapy things. And for the first time, I don't know whether I'd had a blocked nose for the previous visit, I just started to smell that. And it was great learning for me. It's always a good experience. But it was tiring. And I don't think I've caught up with
that. Hence why you're yawning your head off.
I was yawning just before we went behind.
We'll give you a bit of a nudge later if you fall asleep.
No, that's been good fun.
But how was, just a quick question about, is the whole security scene and outlook so completely different over there, or is it very much similar to the UK?
I think less so. I don't think they necessarily understand. The thing with, I've got to be careful around sort of sweeping statements, but there is an attitude out there with business that they can buy a solution.
Right.
And yes, you can do that, but unless you know how it's going to operate, how it's going to be applied, and how you integrate it to your culture and everything else at an organizational level, then that just won't work. There's an incredible amount of business out there. I spoke to the Department of Industry and Trade, so the UK people that were out there. There's lots of small businesses that are in operation, UK based as well.
Oh, wow.
There's a big community out there, as well as expats. So they understand, they get a certain amount of information. There's different standards, there's different legislation that drives some of those aspects. But I can say, you know, if I met 10 clients, 9 were very interested about what we were saying around, you know, our story around how we can help protect them and how that value is added back to their clients. So that was interesting. And that's sort of different here.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a harder slog, but there's less... There's more willingness to think about other solutions rather than out the box technology plug and play.
Interesting.
So it keeps me on my toes. So it was, it was a good trip. It was a good trip.
And then you was in Kent day before yesterday.
I was at the Kent University of Kent. Yep. I was kindly invited to come along via their employability team, which is the group of the university that helps prepare. Those graduates or those students that are coming towards the end of their degree, or they've got a degree where there's an internship required, or a work placement, or a year gap that they have to take some sort of work in. So I introduced them to what cyber means to me in a very simple manner. I pitched it at the right level. There was probably about 20 there, and they come of their own accord at lunchtime. Really.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, that was positive. They stayed, which was even more positive. And towards the, as we started to get into it, and the students ranged from people that were studying war and conflict right the way through to your usual sort of cybersecurity and computer science students. But also, you know, we had forensic people that were doing other types of forensics that you would probably see more on Endeavor or Morse, as well as math students. And they all wanted to have a little bit of a conversation about what that looks like for them when they leave. And I was giving them a touch of reality and giving them a couple of pointers as to someone who's recruited for about 10 years. I need to see something different within the CV. Obviously, it needs to be constructed well. It needs to give the right information. But, you know, don't think because you've got a degree you're going to walk out into, you know, the job that you want. Let's start talking about that. So I put them on the spot. I asked them where did they wanted to, what was their job that they wanted to go to, and then sort of broke it down to them. I said, really, do you think you're going to go to there, or, you know, a little bit of work experience or a little bit of voluntary work in that arena might set you apart from somebody else, or, you know, if you want to end up as one of the guys who was a security graduate wanted to be a penetration tester. Well, unless you've got all of the...
Sorry. Yeah. Tries to keep a straight face then.
It's not even Christmas, patience, and I didn't even see that. Usually I'm guilty of that. If a pen tester, and that doesn't mean that they've got loads of different bics either.
Oh, okay. Moving on.
If you want to be a vulnerability exploiter and tester, then degree's not just going to cut it. You're going to have certain accreditation and learning that support that. But equally, that's not where you're going to start, because you'll probably start somewhere else within an organisation doing IT that goes into more of a security operations role, and then understand the engineering aspects of it before you even get to understanding where the exploits are. And that was well received. Yeah. And four or five of them reached out to me afterwards and said, you know, they'd be interested in coming to see what they could do with them in whichever capacity that they'd look to do. And also a couple of people had asked me to sort of just gloss over and read their dissertations. And one very kindly said, could they quote me? And I said, well, certainly tell me the quote first. I might just need to validate it.
Yes, maybe not.
But it's a really good experience, and it's part of what we want to do at the company. And it sounds quite romantic and stuff. And it goes back to what the first show that I had is about how I want to be and how TEN wants to, TEN Intelligence actually wants to act within Kent and the wider world. We want to have a voice, and we want to make sure that we try and give back in certain ways. And of course, there's a win for us if I start going into universities, then potentially there's an untapped pool of recruits that I can get. But equally, I think that we're, you know, as a responsible employer and as a responsible business within the area, within Kent, we've got something to say about helping these young people, and that's always fascinated me. So it's a really nice little space that we work in.
Busy. Patience, you mentioned when we was off air that you work with students.
Oh, yes. I was going to say that it would be useful to kind of get linked with the Skills 3030, because you sound really passionate about what you're doing. Yeah. So I got involved with Skills 3030, and through that I got involved with Young Enterprise. And it's about mentoring on business matters and things. So with Young Enterprise, it's really exciting because they're developing their own business from scratch and creating a company. And next month, the first week, there'll be a competition where we'll be turning up there and providing all the company information as well as all the products. And I'm very proud of what they've been very innovative, creative. And tend to understand, you know, what's required for business. I mean, not necessarily the struggles and everything.
Yeah, they've got experience.
But just sometimes when you're younger, you kind of can lose the inhibitions and just do some things. Yeah. And then suddenly it's a wow thing in comparison to the adults that are overthinking it due to experience and everything. And so they came up with great ideas of what to sell, and they really sold well. So, you do great working, you know, joining up if you want to.
Let's collaborate. We were talking about collaboration.
Yes.
It's brilliant. I think that's, you know, the way is we need to make sure that the generations coming through just to get it and understand it. And I think it's great that business owners and people working in businesses help them, because in university, in college, they can only learn so much, and that's all very academic. Yeah. You know,
it's not life lessons.
No, exactly.
The truth is, they are the future. We need to secure the future by working in the now as individuals to really give them the skills they need. The world is different.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not something you get in a test book, and it's really useful that they hear it, they see people, and also sometimes it's about telling them your story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they know that actually it's not a straight road, but you can still get there, and you don't have to stick with what you started off with in school, but you can still reinvent yourself, transform yourself, which I'll be talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Change your idea. Well, who was I talking to? Oh, I went riding last weekend, and my daughter and I do riding, and the lady I was riding with, she's doing a groom apprenticeship at the stable. So I said, so what do you want to do, you know, when you grow up? What do you want to do? Like, well, you know, what's your plans after the apprenticeship? She went, I don't really know, really. I might try a bit of this, try a bit of that. She said, but, you know, who knows? And I said, that's the thing, though, is, you know, what you do now and what you want to do next year, you do have that much more flexibility these days working wise, because it's not like generations before ours. You did a job and you did it from the day that you left school to the day you retired, and that's it. There was no in between.
Yeah.
Whereas now you have got that flexibility and you can move on, which is great. I love it. Well, we could go on with this for ages, but we've got so much more to cover. I've got loads of shout outs. I'm going to do a couple of shout outs. Rich can't see the screen because it's broken, so I get to do all the work today. You sit back and relax. We've had a shout out from the lovely Kate and Keith from Athelbray Limited at Athelbray LTD on the Twitter, saying, have a lovely show, we'll catch up later. They're out in Surrey today, have fun. The lovely Tracy Ferguson, have a great show. It's great. I love Tracy because she always listens to the show of an evening, and then she gets the commentary going via Twitter. So you're sitting there and Twitter's pinging because Tracy's watching the show and giving some feedback, which is always fantastic. But she's also asked for a shout out for Freya and herself, who have come together to collaborate. Collaboration is the word today. They are doing an Express Yourself workshop on the 15th and 16th of April in the Vines, Parkwood area, Maidstone, for ages 7 to 11. So they're going to be working with the younger generations and helping them to express themselves. Fantastic idea, Tracy. Well done. So if you follow at Tazi, T-A-Z-I-64, on the Twitter, and find out more about that. But if you've got a youngster, it's obviously over the Easter holidays that you feel, you know, could come out of themselves a bit more. My daughter does not have that trouble whatsoever. If you've got somebody who can do the reverse, take it out for a bit. That's great. So there's your shout out, Tracy. Someone called 10 Intelligence. They're tweeting.
Oh, are they?
Morning, Callie. Because I know it's not you anymore. Lisa Settle from Telcare. Have a great show. Thank you, Lisa. Oh, well, there's a bit of a foodie thing going on here as well, because we've got a tweet from Bennett and Friends at Bennett Friends on the Twitter. Please, Business Bunker Extra. We've had a fab week, thanks. Working lunches and canapes galore. So they're caterers. It's very interesting. They are, what did it say? Friendly, helpful, professional caterers serving delicious food and fabulous drink in and around Kent, London, Gloucestershire and the home counties. So you cover quite a wide area. If you're listening, where are you based? It's great to know where you're based as well. Great. There's your shout out. Need some catering done. But there's another caterer I've been on as well, is the lovely Graham Green from Chives Caterers. And they've had an amazingly busy week, thanks to Deborah. Graham has had a knee surgery operation, which he's recovering from. So Deborah's been doing all the running around. And doesn't she do all the running around normally anyway, Graham? But again, Chives Caterers are fantastic caterers for all of your catering needs. So a bit of a catering theme going on there. And Stacey, hi, good morning, Stacey. So Stacey, who was on last week, is listening. And she says, I love patients' comments about younger people, like students, not overthinking things like we do when we get older and getting on with things. Exactly. Fantastic. So this, keep those tweets coming in. It's great to hear from you. Richard, I think it's about time, you know, we like to scare the hell out of people on this show once a month and make sure it's super, super. Can I just say, your super paranoidness that you've got me to now.
I haven't.
I've changed all my passwords across the board. And the trouble is, I keep forgetting them. And then every time I try to log in back into something, and Google is my nemesis at the moment. There's one account that I tried to sign back into and I've forgotten what I changed the password to. So I've clicked forget password. And it says, please enter the last password you remembered using. So I entered the last password I remembered using. And it came up and said, you last used this 4 months ago. That doesn't help. And it still won't let me get in to that account. I'm like, yes, I know I used it last 4 months ago, but now I need to change it because I don't know what it is. So, yeah, I'm getting really fed up with passwords at the moment. They're driving me absolutely barmy. But what expert advice do you have for us? Are you going to mention the Facebook again?
I am going to mention Facebook. Yes. I am going to mention passwords. I am going to mention the usual stuff because it's always going to be relevant. So in the last couple of days, Facebook announced, as they always do, try to slip it under the radar of news, that approximately 600 million of Facebook users' passwords, which clearly you would expect them to store passwords so that they can enable access to the app on and Facebook itself. But that was kept in plain text. Now, so what that means is, it's like writing it on a piece of paper and leaving it on the desk. So there's no form of encryption or protection around those passwords. So one, that makes it extremely easy for a member of staff with someone that we would refer to as an insider threat, someone that's hell-bent on spoiling or earning money from Facebook to copy all of those passwords and then sell them somewhere. But also it's just really poor practice. And I think I'm not anti-Facebook by any stretch of the imagination. I certainly use it and I know everyone that does. But this is becoming, you know, Facebook is becoming quite laughable, really, because they're never not out of the news for something around data privacy issues. I mean, it's just whether it started off with Cambridge Analytics right the way through to recent breaches. But what they're saying is that there is no evidence to suggest that those passwords have been compromised further. So by compromised further, as in used in or found on the dark web, and they'll have such tools to be able to identify that. But I don't believe that.
Do you think it's just a load of rubbish anyway? Do you reckon it's a publicity stunt?
Oh, no. They won't. I mean, they're good at publicising themselves using certain things. You wouldn't say, unless you absolutely had to, that passwords were kept unsecure.
No. Really. But then there is a member of their team who has now been paid nicely by the press for releasing the story that the fact that the
absolutely.
Passwords...
There's money everywhere.
It is scary. It's like... What can we do? We all got to change our passwords again.
Well, the Facebook, those that they believe are affected by it, they'll force that password change. So there might well be, you'll know whether you've been affected when you next go to log on and it asks you to change your password. So you'll know quite quickly. But I would say in any case, change your password.
If you can remember what your password is.
You can remember. I mean, many people do use password managers. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. But,
you know, there are a lot of sort of secure apps and methods around trying to store your own passwords. It's unfortunately, you know, we talk about phishing, we talk about all other types of those simple garden variety type incidents that can affect business, you know, and equally can affect you personally, but business. Changing your password is probably the only real form of protection that you've got. Now, whether you introduce that as a cycle yourself so that you get ahead of it, or you wait for it to happen, is a different matter. And then I just want to quickly turn the table on, and it's still scam, and it's still related to data, but there's been an increase, or certainly there's been records recorded of criminals, and I like the fact that the now media have stopped using sort of cyber attackers, or you know that they've now started to list it as criminals. Mm. That's what we are, and we spoke about that many shows ago. But now that there's many scams that are going on, but criminals are tricking customers into giving them money by believing them to be a bank customer or something to access their bank details. And make legitimate's not the right word, with their permission, payments. So, you know, it's not fraud because, well, it is a fraud. They're not trying to do what they do with phishing, where they're trying to pretend that they're something so obvious. They're trying to act legitimately and get you to process the payment with your permission. So it's back in the old days, you used to do it via phone. A lot of shop retails would have suffered from this, card not present, this is my number, can you deliver it to? So it's the same sort of thing. And one of the stats that just recently come out in the last 6 months of 2018, because it does take a while for all of this to be recorded, and if it is true, and I think this is still scratching the surface, £135 million was transferred with clients, with customers' permission.
Oh, God.
That's just crazy, insane. So it's passwords and vigilance. That's the words for Friday. We have to be vigilant. It's not just about being vigilant online and digitally, but equally be vigilant with the phone calls that are coming in, because we all get targeted by you know, telemarketers and all of those, and just be careful of those type of things. And there's many other types of related incidents involving tax, HRMC, and tax claims, where they try to force you to pay those pay that money with your permission. So just be careful. I don't want to be doom and gloom. I hate doom and gloom.
Yeah,
I'd rather
do. You
talk about transformational business speak. But
now we've upset you and scared you. Let's move on quickly to cheer you up.
Yes.
No, thank you for that. We always joke about it, but it's stuff that you just need reminding of, because we can all be so busy being busy that the important things get missed. So that was great. Thank you for our cyber security expert, or not just cyber security, but our security expert spot. Yeah. And Neil, your
CEO.
It says, good morning, he's listening. So did he get it right, Neil? Was he all right? Yeah, give him a thumbs up.
Good morning again.
we've got some events for you to put in your diary coming up. We like getting out there. We like networking. We like you to get out there and networking. So put these dates in the diary. So next week, Monday the 25th, which is the day after my birthday, starting at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. It's the Business Doctors and the Business in Maidstone are putting on a free event called Cash Management. In just 2 hours, we will give you 10 tips on how you can start generating cash the minute you leave the room. I'm going, I don't know about anybody else, aren't I? As soon as you walk out the room, going to start generating cash. It's great, fantastic. The Business Doctors, Peter Sell and his team, the Business Doctors, put on some great events. It's a free event. So if you want to find out more, if you want to book on for Monday, go to bizdoctors.co.uk or businessmaidstone.co.uk and just look for events. They are also, the Business Doctors, putting on an event next Wednesday, which is 3 days after my birthday. Wednesday, the 27th of March, from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's a NFSB Connect networking. So great. Get down there. At the event, there will be Maidstone Business Improvement District, the BID board activities to invest. BID board members will be there. So you can find out more about BID. Go to, again, businessdoctors.co.uk. Now, this is a new one for you, which sounds really exciting. Wednesday, the 3rd of April, which is not far away, 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Fruit Rooms in West Morling. It's Bright Business Minds sharing insight to inspire growth. The directors of two Kent-based companies are collaborating again, and that's definitely the word today,
wow,
on a new venture to showcase some of the country's biggest, brightest minds in business. Anwyn Cooper of Get Fruitful Marketing and Dan Corp of Corp Consulting share a passion for business growth. They have teamed up to encourage Kent's top talent to share insights that will inspire other entrepreneurs. So they're launching in April. The first one is going to be Winning the War for Talent, Creating an Inspiring Employer Brand. And the evening will explore what it takes to create a fantastic place to work. If you want to find out more and to get booked on for that, go to brightmindinbusiness.co.uk. Fantastic. There's so much going on. Thursday, the 18th of April, I have to mention this, otherwise Gemma will kill me. Do you like waffles? Do you like waffling? Then it is time for the next Dragon Co-working waffle event. It's at Dragon Co-working within the St. George Hotel in Chatham. It's free and you get waffles and you get to do lots of networking. And this one is sponsored by Orchard Employment Law. So if you go to Eventbrite, look up waffle or onto Facebook and you can book on for that. It's so amazing. There's so much great events going on. We've got a few more, but we're going to mention those at the end of the show now because we're running out of time. We're going to have a quick musical interlude, and then when we come back, we're going to be hearing more from patients. So we'll be back right after this. And this is one of my favourite songs. I chose it for my birthday.
Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Stars, when you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses, free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show. You are listening to us on bizradio.co.uk or channelradio.co.uk/2. Some people may be listening to us via Alexa on TuneIn, just so that you can.
Really?
Yeah, Alexa, play Channel Radio 2 Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Okay.
And now everybody's Alexas have just kicked in. I love that. I should do that every week. Do an
stop.
Alexa.
Alexa, no,
Alexa,
stop.
Alexa, sharp. It was brilliant. Yes, I am here, as you can hear. My co-host today is our security expert, Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence.
Good morning.
And we did love a bit of Alexa. And our guest is Patient Ogbonna, who is transformational coach, business trainer and inspirational speaker.
Thanks for having me.
I like it when we've got a full description of who you are and what you do. So tell us more about yourself. Now we want to hear all about patients.
Yes, so, I wear a lot of hats, like you mentioned, and very brave for always attempting to pronounce my name.
You know what? People say my surname wrong. My surname is Flanders,
yeah.
But it's spelt Flan, Flanders. Oh. So for years, people call me Flanders. Paul Andrews called me Flanders for years. Now he has no excuse, but I told him off. But it's, people do. It's,
yeah.
It's, how do you say your name?
Ogbonna. So it's Ogbonna?
Ogbonna. Yeah.
It's difficult to say that after.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, a bit about me in terms of my journey. So when I was listening to Richard about the Facebook, it was taking me back to my previous life where I used to be a chartered internal auditor. Right. So risk management, and it was sending a lot of red flags to me about the fact that they got away with it for a long time without, you know, focusing on the risk that they were carrying, which was very shocking. So in a previous life, I qualified as a chartered accountant and then a chartered internal auditor. But I've always known that I had this passion and this potential to be somebody else, really. Mm. And so I guess I started exploring for many years what that really means. I was working about, in my view, carrying a mask, you know, not really having that sense of self-worth, self-esteem, when you just feel that you're off and you're not really living the life you really want to live.
Did you start, was it something going into doing the accountancy, the chartered accountant, was that something you thought you'd like to do when you started doing it? Or was it you fell into it, you needed a job and that's something that you went to do? Did you have a desire to do it? Was you good with numbers? And
I think for people like me, and many people who find themselves in that kind of boat, is the fact that you can be multi-talented and do many things very well. So as a child, I actually wanted to be a surgeon.
Of course.
So, and I read science and social science. So I was this type of person that has always said, I give myself options in life.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be stuck not having options. So by reading social science, in a sense, I could be a doctor. I could be somebody, a lawyer. I could be many things. And it worked out well that when it came to making a choice, I kind of made the choice for accounting because it was shorter, 4 years to 8 years. Really.
Basically, you chose it because it was the shortest course.
Yes. But then once I got into it, I thought to myself, I've got to make it work for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my life has to have that meaning that I want it to have. But as time went on, you know, I made it work, really. I moved along in the career path. But of course, as I went along, I realized that there were some things that weren't right about my attitude and my mindset that was keeping me at the bottom of the pack, that was keeping me low, you know, and was causing me a lot of heartache. Every morning I would wake up, look in the mirror, and I didn't like the person that was going to go out for that day.
Yeah.
Today I know that it's that mask. As a qualified behavioral analyst, I know it's the mask we wear. We try to meet people's expectations about who they think we should be.
Yeah.
Whereas the real us is sitting back at home, really trying to survive and really crying out for expression. And so I had to go on a transformational journey at some point in my life by start developing myself first, my self-image, self-esteem, letting myself come true. And then I started working in London and then did the chartered internal auditor bit as well. So I transitioned from being a chartered accountant to becoming a chartered internal auditor.
Right.
And I loved it because it allowed me more what I was used to do. What I really wanted to do was work with people, you know, and make a difference in whatever people were doing and kind of develop strategies to be able to meet a goal or an objective, because risk is about that objective that you want to achieve or can't achieve it.
Yeah.
So that brought me on the journey of exploration that finally led me to 2016 to saying, I usually say to people, when you are saying, I think I need to be in France, what you then need to decide is what vehicle is going to get me to France? Am I going to fly? So I knew I needed to change.
Yeah.
I knew I needed to be somebody else than I was, but what was that going to be? So I discovered the John Maxwell team,
right,
where I'm currently an exec director with them, which means that just means that I have access to materials that can use to transform companies at a high level and the support to do that. So so I discovered that in 2016, but didn't call myself a transformational coach. But by 2017, when I was beginning to think about what do I want to do with my life? You know, I begin to realize now that suddenly the mask was coming off. I was becoming more expressive of who I am.
Yeah.
And I began to see that I needed to reinvent myself. And I think that's what scares people. You've been this person all these years, and suddenly people are going to ask, but what's wrong with accounting?
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with, you know, and my parents were like, really? You know, why do you want to? But the truth is, you know, this is the real you. I had the gift of being able to talk to people, encourage people, move people along, and kind of taking that to the next level where I went and trained for it so that I had the real tools and strategies and insights was what I needed to do. And I call myself a transformational coach, but not a life coach, because people then say, oh, is that a life coach? That's what they ask you.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So it's slightly different in the sense that the transformational coach works on mindset, looks at your view of the world, you know, the picture you have of the world and the reality you're living in right now, knowing that that's not the reality you want. And it's all in your thinking, because our thoughts are what create the reality we have.
Yeah.
How we feel comes from our thoughts first. So basically, a transformational coach is one that says, this is who you are. This is your potential. Go on a journey of a success pathway of discovery. And so that is how I started. And I set up the company Aspire Transform Inspire, which is again, in line with who I see myself as or the journey I made. So I had these aspirations to be somebody else, to be able to stand up and speak to people, speak to their pain points and change their life. And then I decided I needed to reinvent myself, go on a transformational journey. And now what I want to do as part of my business model is inspire people. So that's I think that's in a nutshell how I came about becoming a transformational coach, how I set up my company. And then the business training one came later, where you want to empower people. Now you know your potential. How do you use it?
Yeah.
How do you use it from passion to profit, really? Aspirations to profit. Mm. And so I decided that that's a space as well, using all my skills from accounting, using all my skills from working behind the scenes with companies, understanding what risk is against objectives, what right structures is of foundations to set up your business. I decided that, you know, I wanted to do that as well as a business consultant. And being part of John Maxwell team, I have the resources to be able to provide that training. And then inspirational speaking. And I've written a book called Aspiration to Transformation as well.
So everything, a book as well.
Yes, yes.
It's really nice.
So my book is basically called Aspiration to Transformation, 10 Steps to Move You from Discomfort to Your Empowerment Zone. Once you begin to search for answers, you've moved from your comfort zone because something has allowed you to escape those fear barriers a little bit. So you begin to dip your feet in the water. But what happens to people is if they are not caught in that space, and it's back to what Richard said about he went to Dubai 3 times before he smelled something. Mm. The smell has always been there.
Yeah.
What happens to us is we delete it based on our awareness and our mindset. But once we begin to open ourselves up to possibilities and we're moving to that place of, he said at the beginning, he wants to always put himself in uncomfortable situations because he knows that that's how you grow. Yeah. Growth is uncomfortable. Children teething struggle with temperature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Children walking fall and bang themselves all the time. So basically, at the third time, he decided to allow his picture of the world to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And his senses caught up with it and his awareness caught up with it. And that's what happens, you know, with, so aspiration to transformation is about saying it's very easy to follow a success pathway to transform yourself, to reinvent yourself to who you want to be. So move from your aspirations that you've held all this while and you're now in that uncomfortable space to take this pathway, these 10 steps that I've written about, into the transformed you that is the real you. Live as you, demand what you want and get what you want out of life, really. So
in a nutshell. But I was going to say, I think one of the things you learn, and unfortunately you learn as you get older and you go through experiences, is your mind is the most powerful thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, people that have broken a bone in their body, if they've got to do something, you know, if they're in an accident and they've got to save somebody else, their mind will ignore the pain to see something else. And that's obviously quite extremes. But as a person, one, I think it takes you a little while to get to that point where you realise that you don't like who you are or where you are. Saying that, I think a lot of people realise that. They're like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like my job. I don't like, you know, they're not happy with their life. But they don't know that they're the only ones that can do something about it. They always think, you know, they blame it on everybody else but themselves. So, but once they realise that they do need to change, that it's, you know, it's up to them, I guess a lot of them don't know how to, or you know, what they need to do, to what steps they need to take to make themselves the person they want to be.
I think the truth is, you get in life certain situations that are catalysts. I call them catalysts. They might be positive. They are generally uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The reason being, you have somebody who says, gives you redundancy, and suddenly you decide. I've met a lot of people when they go through a period of ill health, it forces them to take a step and reevaluate themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a catalyst. And sometimes you meet people, it resonates. So for me, the catalyst was waking up one morning, going to work really, really depressed, but putting myself up for training, for self-confidence, because I was willing to say, I can't take this anymore. The mask is a pretense. I don't have confidence and I have low self-esteem. So it was courageous to put myself up for that training. But there I met this lady who was an NLP coach.
Right, yeah.
And for the first time, so you don't know where to go, but a picture comes to you. I saw her in this red dress, standing in front of the room speaking. And what hit me was, that's me. That's who I really think I want to be, but I'm not there. I'm quite hopeless in the way I feel right now. And I went up to her and I said, you know, her name was Lindsay then. And I said, Lindsay, really, you really helped me. But at this point, I feel like the whole world is against me. And Amanda, like you said, she looked at me and she said, so patience, the whole world is against you. You don't get promoted. You don't like where you're at. What are you going to do about it? And I thought, me? For goodness sake, you're the expert. Give me all this. Yeah. And she said, yes. So what are you going to do about it? So I was really upset and I was turning to walk away. And she said, by the way, patience, just stop sabotaging yourself. And the moment she said that, it was like the scales fell off. It was for the first time I realized that if it's going to be, it's actually up to me. If I'm looking for somebody to save me, I need to go on that journey. I need to find the courage to say, these are my potentials. These are my skills. I need to, everything you've ever wanted, John Maxwell, my mentor, he said, everything you ever wanted is on the other side of fear. And that's the truth. So all this while, I've been letting fear keep me in the fear barrier, in the discomfort zone, because most people are not really comfortable. They call it the comfort zone. Yeah. I think the moment you're beginning to stir the water, you're uncomfortable. You're just not comfortable. And she became that first catalyst that made me look at resources. So like, that's why I wrote my book, because when you have that opportunity, it's baby steps.
Yeah.
Taking those baby steps, using the catalyst in life, creating consciousness. What happens with transformation is that you become more intuitive and take advantage with your intuition. You no longer delete opportunities. You become aware of them and you take advantage of them because they resonate and align with who you are and where you want to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I provide for people is, I say, come along, gain clarity on your purpose and potential. Look at your mindset and where it is. Then go on that journey with me being your accountability partner, with me providing you with the understanding of how you can build the skills for excellence. Then you can have fulfillment and success and be your real self. We all want freedom and we want to live as our real self.
Yeah.
And we want to say, I matter, you know, and I belong and I have what it takes to live my life.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. I love the word, and I guess I've never thought of the word before, like using it, transformational, but that is exactly what you're doing. You're transforming your mindset, you're transforming your life, you're transforming into the life that you aspire for. And aspire, see, you're so good with those wordings, they just come out. So how do you work with people? Do you work on a one-to-one basis? Do you do workshops, trainings? How do you work with people?
So my model really is, I love working with people one-on-one. So I do one-to-one coaching. And like I said, the book itself is a system. So I use that system for group coaching as
cool.
well.
Yeah.
And so because I say this is a structured pathway. And so we start with your mindset, because the first part of the book is, what do you really, it just is questions. What coaches do is ask you questions.
Yeah.
And those questions, then they don't let you go. They make you dig deep. Because we always say as a coach two things. I believe in your potential. I believe in you. There is no judgment. The second point is the answers are in you.
I guess that's the thing. So, people want to be told the answers, don't
yeah.
they? And it's really frustrating when people go, well, no, you know the answers. Like, but no, I don't. But as you say, as a coach, that is what you do. You get people to find the answers, their own answers in themselves, which is what makes a difference.
Yeah.
Somebody can tell you what to do all the time, but that doesn't help you.
That's not going to be the transform.
That's no. not the... So I say I always lead people to an empowerment zone.
Mm.
When you are generating your answers, it builds self-confidence, it raises your self-esteem, and you work in your empowerment zone. You also yeah. realize from within your strength. So, you know, like with the one-to-one coaching, with the group coaching, for me, usually I'm actually surprised because I just got nominated for the Kent Women in Business Awards for home business, and I got the finalist stage.
Congratulations.
I didn't. But the point there, a client who got results in three sittings, mm. you know, with me
yeah.
because, and I believe that it's just taking the scale off. You're already there.
Yeah.
It's just saying, actually stay here and let's get you, don't go back.
Yeah.
Don't go back. So I do that one-to-one. I do workshops as well. I've got two signature workshops. One is called Build Your Dream. So I want you to believe in your dream and I want you to say, I am enough to be able to deliver it. Then the next phase is, so now you know what your dream is. My second signature workshop is called Smart Business Bootcamp. So it's about building that dream into something profitable, but laying the right foundations. So that's what I do. I have workshops, I have one-to-ones, and I create online programs as well.
Fantastic.
For people that they can access, you know, and do in their own time and own space as well.
Brilliant. Well, unfortunately, we have now come to the end of the show. That time yeah. goes so fast. We could talk about this literally for hours. I love this subject. Please give us a quick shout out so people can find you and find out more about your courses and your one-to-one stuff that you do with people.
So I'm on all the social media platforms, Facebook and everything else, website as well. So if you want to reach me in terms of email, it's contact@aspiretransforminspire.co.uk. You can send me a message on any of the platforms. My website is also called www.aspiretransforminspire.co.uk. So you can get hold of me there. You'll find all my contact details there. By all means, get in touch. I do 20 minutes free discovery call, no obligation, because it's about a match, working together
absolutely.
To be able to see that you get the results you want. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been lovely to meet you and find out more about you and what you do. I think it's fantastic. So brilliant. Well done. And then look at the time. My goodness. What, the hour goes so fast.
It does.
I think maybe we just talk too much. Maybe that's that's the trouble. But it has been a great show. We have unfortunately run out of time. We had loads more events to cover, but we can't cover those now because we've run out of time. So it just leaves me to say to Richard, thank you again for joining us this month.
You're welcome.
It's
always
been
a pleasure.
Fabulous having you on the show. Patience, again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Been great to have you here. Do join us next week on the show. I have... my co-host is the fabulous Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. And our guest is Aaron Priest, who is the co-founder of Solo Press. And if people don't know who Solo Press are, they are the competition for... what's the name of that printing company? Vistaprint. Thank you.
All right.
Listen in next week. Don't forget Paul's show on Tuesday, 1 to 3. Have a great weekend, everybody. I will, because it's my birthday. Bye.
Happy birthday.
Christmas Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.
Channel 2.